Turn now to the New Testament. We turn to John chapter 10, and we begin to read at verse number 11. Lord Jesus, speaking, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." At these words the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Are you sure of going to heaven? Can anybody be? Once a sinner has been saved, can he be sure he will reach heaven? Now that's a question that troubles Christians from time to time. Indeed, some Christians are often troubled by that question, by doubts as to whether they will finally make it to heaven. It can be sometimes they're mixing with other Christians, perhaps very fine Christian folk, who will say that a Christian can lose his salvation at any time. You could be saved today and lost tomorrow, they say, and perhaps then you begin to wonder, maybe they're right. Maybe that is the case. Or perhaps it is that you are very conscious of your own sinfulness, your own weakness, your failures, the way in which you've let God down. And you wonder if perhaps you could fall away from salvation. Worse still, perhaps you wonder, have you already done it? That though you might have been saved, maybe you no longer are. Maybe one day you will lose your salvation and fail to reach heaven. Perhaps you read some texts in the Bible that would seem to suggest that in order to reach heaven, it all depends on whether you keep up your Christian walk and maintain your faith, and you're not sure you'll be able to do it. Can you be sure of reaching heaven? How are we to deal with questions like that? They can be a tremendous burden for some Christians, and it's unlikely that you'll go through your whole Christian life and never ask yourself that question. Clearly, getting the right answer is vitally important for God's people, for our peace of mind, for our spiritual well-being. If we're always in a state of doubt and of wondering, of questioning, we're paralyzed. Paralyzed in our own Christian walk and in our usefulness for the Lord. And from the point of view of a preacher and of a pastor, you want God's people to have a secure trust in the Lord. You don't want God's children to have unnecessary fears and doubts, questions that they don't need to be bothered by. And yet, on the other hand, you don't want people to be dangerously complacent and assume that they're Christians. And so there is a balance in the middle between having unnecessary questions and yet to have a complacency that isn't warranted. And so we want to think today about the theme of persevering to the end. Persevering to the end. Looking at different parts of God's word that will help us to get a biblical answer to that question, can you be sure you will reach heaven? Persevering to the end. And there are really two things that we want to think about today. Two important truths that get us to the very heart of this issue. The first is this: all who are truly born again will persevere. All who are truly born again will persevere. This is a truth to encourage and to comfort Christian people. All those who are truly born again will persevere. And there are many passages in the Word of God that show us clearly that once a sinner has truly come to an experience of the new birth and of salvation, once you are really born again, you will not be lost. And indeed, you cannot be lost. But you will persevere to the end. You will reach heaven. You will reach final glory. All those who are truly born again will persevere. Now, there are many kinds of evidence that we could draw from the Bible to support that statement. Two kinds of evidence I want to look at particularly today. Much more we could say, but these two things, I think, are especially important. The first, we have the Lord's promises. The Lord's promises. Indeed, what better could we have than that? The promises of the Lord himself, that this is the case. Believers, true Christians, will persevere to the end because the Lord will not let us fall irretrievably. The Lord won't let us fall away finally, because salvation is his work. And he won't let it fail. Think of a promise such as we have in John 6 earlier, in John's Gospel, and where we read in chapter 10. John 6, verses 39 and 40. Jesus says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It couldn't be any clearer than that, or any more direct, from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. There he tells us that he will complete the salvation of his people at the resurrection day. And that is God's will. And we know if it is the will of God, it can't be frustrated, it cannot come to nothing, it will be fulfilled. Jesus will raise his people up at the last day. We have his promise. And we could repeat that same idea from many portions of the Word of God. We have the same lesson in John 10, verses that we read earlier. Verse 28 and verse 29. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, those who want them to make a public statement about being the Messiah. And Jesus says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. And then he goes on at verse 28 regarding his sheep. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. A wonderful promise from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And we can link that back to John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And him who comes to me, I will never cast out, or I will never drive away. And in both of those promises, Jesus makes it as definite as he could possibly do. In the original language, it's a double negative. We've mentioned these before. In English, a double negative, not never, cancels out. But in Greek, it reinforces it. Jesus says, I'll not never cast them out, no possibility. I'll not drive them away. They can't be snatched out of my hand. And surely we know they'll not slip out of God's fingers. So it's as clear again as it could be. We are in the hands of our God and of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We will not slip through their fingers. We will not be snatched out of their hand. And we'll not be thrown out of their hand. So we are secure. We have the Lord's promise that that is the case. There is no possibility that believers will be lost. We have the Lord's promises. And there are many, many more texts that we could quote. So that's the first kind of evidence for our first statement that all those who are truly born again will persevere. First of all, we have the Lord's promises. But then secondly, and just as important, we think of the nature of salvation. The nature of salvation. Because when you think of how the Bible describes what happens to a sinner when he's saved, of what actually takes place in salvation, when you see what the Bible says about that, I believe it is utterly clear that the changes that take place in us and in our standing before God cannot and will not be reversed. Salvation, if you like, is a one-way street. You can only go along it in one direction. And when we understand what it is God actually does when he saves a sinner, it is clear it'll not be undone. It'll not be reversed. It couldn't possibly be. Think of some of the ways in which salvation is described. You see, sometimes we think of salvation in a very narrow way. We think of it purely as sins forgiven. And so perhaps it's not hard to think, well, perhaps that forgiveness could be withdrawn. You know what happens in life, doesn't it? Someone says, I forgive you for what you've done, and then they change their mind. And they don't forgive you. Well, We're tempted maybe sometimes to think that's how it might be with God. But when you think of what the Bible says happens when a sinner is saved, it's very different. Listen to Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Let that sink in. Think about that. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The transformation is total. Can we imagine that somehow God would uncreate us and make us an old creation again? Surely not. Again, John 5:24. Jesus says, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He has crossed over from death to life. That's what happens when you're saved. If you are truly a Christian, you have eternal life. You've crossed over from spiritual death to spiritual life. Can we imagine that somehow, at some point, God, because of something one of his children had done, would kill them again and send them back over to death from life? Is it possible that God, who reveals himself in the Bible, could be thought of doing that to one he has made his child? Might as well think of a human parent killing their child as to think of God withdrawing eternal life from one of his children. And yet there are sincere Christians who think that can happen. But I don't believe the Bible for a moment suggests it can or will. Eternal life is used very often in the scriptures to describe salvation. It is not just forgiveness of sins. It is that. But it is a new life. It is it being a new creation. It is a complete transformation. God has bestowed new life on you. The old has gone. You are not the old person any longer. You're a new person. We've new life. Or again, the Bible speaks of it in judicial terms, the language of the law courts. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great to know that? There's no condemnation. There is no sentence against you for your sins. And why is that? It's because Jesus has paid the price. He has served your sentence. He's taken your guilt and your punishment. Now, if God were ever to punish you for your sins, he would be demanding the payment twice. He would be requiring that the sentence be served twice. By Jesus, on your behalf, and then again by you. There's no justice in that. And God is a God of perfect justice. Can we imagine that the payment that Christ made at Calvary would be cancelled and the sentence reimposed so that there would be condemnation for you at some point in the future? If that were the case, then surely Christ's sacrifice for you would be wasted. It would be futile. And that is utterly inconceivable. There is no condemnation. We are justified, Romans 5:1. We are adopted as God's children, 1 John 3:2. those cannot and will not be undone. God does not adopt us into his family to turn round some day and say, you're out. You're back in your sins. You're a stranger and an alien. You're not my child any longer. Of course not. The work of salvation, as the Bible describes it, will not be undone. There are so many texts in the scriptures that as Christians we ought to know and know where to find them to encourage ourselves. You think in Romans 8 and verse 30, sometimes called the golden chain of salvation, traces each step of the way. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. That hasn't happened yet. We haven't been glorified yet. And yet Paul puts it in the past tense. Glorified. Why does he do that? It's because it is so absolutely certain that just as surely as God calls and justifies, he will glorify. Absolutely certain. And look at the verse, read it. Paul does not say whom he called. Most of them he justified. And whom he justified, quite a lot of them he glorified. No, he doesn't. There's no gap. It's the same people at each stage. Nobody drops out along the way. All he foreknew in eternity, he predestined. All he predestined, he called. All he called, he justified. And all he justified, yes, glorified. No possibility of someone dropping out along the way, slipping out of God's hand. The work will be finished. And so we can have the kind of confidence in God, not confidence in ourselves. God forbid we trust ourselves. But the same confidence in God that Paul knew. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Absolute certainty. If you don't have that conviction today, pray that God will strengthen your assurance and that you'll hold on to that great truth that all those who are truly born again will persevere. God will not let any of his children be lost. The truth that is full of encouragement. If you're struggling, if you're doubting, go to those scriptures and get encouragement from the Lord. But I said that there are two things that we want to think about as we consider persevering to the end. Yes, indeed, all those who are truly born again will persevere. But there's a second truth that the Word of God sets before us that we must also reckon with. And it's this, that only those who persevere have been born again. Only those who persevere have been born again. Because the Bible makes it clear that the reality of our new birth, the reality of being justified and adopted and having eternal life, it has to be shown by obedience to the Lord. We show we are born again by obeying God's law, by holding fast our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, by keeping going to the end. God, in providing salvation for us, doesn't only ordain the end, the goal, glory. But God also ordains and provides the means of reaching glory. The means as well as the end. And what is the means of reaching the end? It's Christians persevering in the faith. But lest we think for one moment that we can persevere by our own strength, and this is something that we achieve by our efforts, the Bible spells out that we persevere by God's grace and God's enabling. See, it's still the work of God. It's never an achievement by our efforts. We must persevere. Let's not be under any illusions about that. We must persevere. But it will be with the grace and strength of God that we do that. God tells us to persevere. And then he enables us to do it. If we are truly his people. God works through our faith, enabling us to keep going to the end. But it doesn't leave us any room to be careless or to be complacent. It doesn't leave any room for the attitude we sometimes hear. But you know, I was saved 40 years ago. And now maybe I'm not living the way I should and I never go to church. But I was saved all those years ago and God will keep me going. So it doesn't matter what I do. I can live as I like. I can do whatever I please. Because I was saved years ago. And God will not let me go. I can live in disobedience. I can live for self. But that's all right. Because God saved me. All those years ago. Utter nonsense. Nowhere in the Bible will you find any support for such an idea. We must persevere. We must be showing today by our obedience to the Lord that we were saved years, months, weeks, days ago. We show our faith by persevering. And it's God who enables us to do that. The final proof of being born again is perseverance. That's the final proof of truly being born again. And so the Bible has many commands to God's people to keep going, to persevere, to hold fast. Listen to Jesus in John 8:31. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue in my word." Continuing in his word is the evidence of genuine faith. The evidence that you are really born again. Again, Matthew 10:22. The Lord Jesus again tells us directly, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." And the implication of that is simply this. He who does not stand firm to the end will not be saved. It's clear in the scriptures we must persevere. Listen to Paul, Colossians 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Paul tells us that Christ reconciled believers to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. If you continue in your faith. Genuine believers, saved sinners, show themselves to be such by their perseverance. Now let's be clear on this. That doesn't rule out times of backsliding, times when our faith perhaps is weak, times when we do fall to temptation. The Bible tells us that's how it will be for us because we are still imperfect. We're not saying that only those who live a perfect life of obedience can be true Christians. Because there's not one of us who meets that standard. We do backslide. We do fail God. We do fall into sin. And what we are saying about perseverance doesn't rule that out. I don't think it even rules out that some Christians may die in a backslidden state. Or some, I think, for whom that is the case. We're not saying that you must repent before you die, or you'll be lost. We are imperfect. We do backslide. We do fail God. And yet God perseveres with us. And that's why we persevere. We've got to get a grasp of that truth. God perseveres with us. And so we persevere to the end. He never gives up on his children. Now we could understand very well why he might. You know your heart. You know many reasons why God might give up on you. But he doesn't. That's the marvel of the grace of God. He never gives up on us. And so in the long run, we never give up. We persevere to the end. It doesn't mean that we can tell who is a genuine Christian. There are some who will finally fall away, who've appeared to be like the real article, who've appeared to be true Christians. Remember, Judas was able to spend 3 years, day in, day out, with the rest of the disciples, and they never suspected that he wasn't really one of them. Counterfeits, counterfeit Christians, can sometimes look very like the real thing. And fool people. And fool themselves sometimes. There are the people depicted in Matthew 7 at the Last Judgment who will come to Jesus. And they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all sorts of things in your name? And no doubt plenty of people thought, those are really true believers. Look at what they're doing. And yet Jesus says to them, I never knew you. Never knew you. The false, the counterfeit Christian can look very like the real thing. And so we need the help of God's Word and God's Spirit to search our hearts and to make sure we are really believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're commanded in the Bible, make every effort to follow the Lord, to seek holiness, to obey his law. Yes, we will fail, and we need to come and repent and be forgiven again by the Lord. But it is only those who persevere to the end, who are truly born again of God's Spirit. And so that truth provides a solemn warning. Make sure you belong to the Lord. Make sure you are saved. If you are a Christian and you're being careless, come back to the Lord and have your sins forgiven and your backsliding healed. Come back to the Lord. It's a warning. Both are important biblical truths. All those who are truly born again will persevere. If you're struggling today and doubting, hold on to that truth. But equally well, only those who persevere have been born again. And if you're careless today, drifting from the Lord, be warned and get back. Get back to the Lord. And show by your obedience and your perseverance you have been truly born again. Salvation is God's work. If it weren't, there wouldn't be one of us who would reach heaven. It's God who brings us to new birth. And praise his name, it's God who enables us to persevere to the end. Gives us the grace and the strength. But we must persevere. We must persevere. Can we be sure of reaching heaven? Yes, we can. Not because of anything in us, or our effort, or our goodness, or our zeal, or our church going, or anything else. We can be sure because salvation is God's work. And if he's begun the good work in us, he will bring it to completion when the Lord returns. All those who are truly born again will persevere. Only those who persevere have been born again.